Will Clark joins us on Sports Byline, the former first baseman who played 15 years with the San Francisco Giants, eight of those 15 with the Giants, and then Texas for 5 years in the final couple of seasons split between Baltimore and St. Louis. He was inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame, of course, played his college baseball at Mississippi State and had a starring role for the 1984 U.S. Olympic team as well. You know, Will, as I watched you in either in the batting cage or in any game since you were here in San Francisco, I always felt that the game came easy to you, or maybe a better word would be natural to you. Indeed, was it? And if so, why do you think it was?
I don't know if it came natural, but I had some great not only coaches but also managers, and you know, they taught me the right way, how to play the game, and how to anticipate things, stuff like that. And so just using, you know, your God-given smarts and your common sense, you know, I was able to anticipate a lot of things. And, you know, it's, a lot of times in baseball, it's not necessarily, you know, the guy who's got the best athletic ability. It's the guy who can sort of think his way through things.
Did you have a natural affinity for baseball, or was there another sport maybe you enjoyed as much or better?
I played a little basketball growing up, and you know, then it came time I was in high school, and it was in between my junior and senior year, and I pretty much knew that you know, baseball is the road that I wanted to pursue, and stuck with baseball, and just seemed like the next few years, especially high school going into college, I really, really improved. And so looking back on it, it was a good choice.
You know, you mentioned about coaches who are so influential in developing you. I've heard that almost from every athlete in any sport I've interviewed. And tell me about some of the ones that touched you, and what is it that they did that both developed your talent as well as your mental approach to the game?
Well, you know, I mean, my high school coach was a guy by the name of Frank Misuraca, and, you know, he treated everybody like adults. And so, you know, I mean, you know, you were expected to act like an adult. And then I went to college and had Ron Polk, who basically was one of the best teachers of the game. You know, we went over game mistakes every day. So, you know, if there was any little thing that went on the field, he was very observant of it. And I think that sort of got passed along to myself and several other of my teammates. Then we get into pro ball, and I got Roger Craig, and he was like my second dad, and sort of brought me along within pro ball. And then probably the guy that I had the best relationship with overall was my hitting instructor, and then became my manager in '93, was Dusty Baker. Dusty and I had several things that we talked about that we just clicked, and made my job on the field a lot easier.
You know, I talked to one particular player that we both know, and I asked him what his philosophy was in hitting, and he said, see it and hit it, see it and hit it. Is it that simple, or is that the way it is?
I can tell you one thing. I am not one of those see it and hit it guys. I am definitely do your homework in front of the video table. Also pay attention to the game, and when I walk up to home plate, there's a 7 or 8 out of 10 possibility. I know exactly what's coming on every pitch. So my approach was not see it and hit it. My approach was definitely anticipate something and then attack it.
You know, when I think about that Mississippi State baseball team you were on, they had so much talent there. When it all came together, and now that you look back on it, what is the thing that sticks out to you about that team?
Just the fact that, you know, I mean, we had four guys that made it to the major leagues off of that team. Myself, Rafael Palmeiro, Jeff Brantley, our pitcher, and then Bobby Thigpen, who was our right fielder, who became the closer for the White Sox. And then we also had, you know, four or five other guys that got drafted into pro ball and didn't make it past the AA level. But it was just amazing how much talent was on that Mississippi State team.
You, of course, won the Golden Spike Award as the best college baseball player in the country, and then taken second overall in the draft by the San Francisco Giants. And when you came up to the Giants, I'm sure you had some anticipation about what Major League Baseball was going to be like. How was it similar to or different from what you found it, Will?
You know what? I really wasn't expecting what I got, I guess you want to say. You know, I left college ball and I went straight into A-ball in Fresno, California. And you know, when you start playing every day, it's an eye opener. It's an awakening. I mean, all of a sudden, parts of your body hurt that didn't hurt before, and you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, when you make it to the major leagues, then, I mean, good Lord, all eyes and cameras are on you. And so any little mistake turns into a big mistake.
You mentioned about Roger Craig being almost like a second father to you. Tell me a little bit about how that manifested itself, because how you handle a rookie is really, I think, instrumental, because it can either destroy their confidence or it can build their confidence, especially if they've got confidence.
Well, you know, and then that's the thing, you know, Roger would call me in and, you know, if I was having a difficult situation, you know, he'd find always the right words to calm me down or relax me or whatever it might be. And then he also had the vice versa effect. You know, I mean, he'd also find a way to kick you in the butt and get you going. So, you know, it was definitely a good relationship, and we had some good teams along the way.
And also, he was kind of country in a way, and I would assume that on a personal level, that probably made you feel comfortable as well.
Exactly. You know, Roger's sort of, you know, he was into horses and cowboy hats and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm from the South, and like I said, went to school in Mississippi, so I was a little bit of a redneck. And so we hit it off on that regard, too.
One thing I do know is that down at spring training, you'd always find Willie Mays down there or Willie McCovey and those sort of guys. Did you ever have conversations with them about hitting?
I tried to pick their brain as much as possible. If Willie Mays or Willie McCovey were around, I was lurking in the weeds asking questions. And then that's the one thing that I see in my current position with the Giants as a special assistant is, you know, when you show up, nobody really even asks you questions about what's going on. And, you know, I wanted to know why Willie Mays and Willie McCovey, I wanted to know what made them tick, what they do up at the plate, what they do out in the field. And every question that I asked, they always had a real legitimate answer for me. And I want to say, you know, that it definitely helped me out in my career.
Since both of them were Hall of Famers, did you find any commonality about the way they played the game and looked upon the game then?
Well, I mean, you know, it was a little different. You know, Willie Mays was, you know, right-handed and center fielder, and he pretty much ran the team. And then Willie McCovey, you know, he was a left-handed first base slugger, and you know, so they had different approaches to things. But at the same time, you know, them going out on the field, it was all about the team and winning and winning World Series and stuff like that. And that's the one thing that I passed along to everybody I met.
Do you find that today's player is really interested in that sort of thing, or because of the money and because of just the fact that they're moving around so much that they don't connect with, you know, players like yourself who can help them?
Well, you know what? That has a little to do with it. But then just the fact that, you know, I mean, some of these guys are getting younger and younger, and they really don't have the seasoning, I guess you want to say, down in the minor leagues that a Willie Mays or a Willie McCovey might have gotten. And, you know, Gaylord Perry, here's another example. You know, Gaylord spent 5 or 6 years in the minor leagues. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, there's some tremendous athletes that are running around right now.
You know, you bring up a very good point. I was having dinner with both Dusty Baker and Joe Morgan one night, and I asked him about the young player, about how prepared are they to, you know, come up to the major leagues. And he said they used to be down and, you know, you used to have Class D ball, Class C ball, and you'd work your way up through the system. He said, but today, because they're paying them so much as bonuses, that they really don't get the strong fundamentals in baseball that, say, somebody like yourself or others might have gotten. How fundamentally strong do you think today's young player is, Will?
A lot of it has to do with where they come from. You know, if they're coming out of a high school, I would have to say they're not very fundamentally strong. If they're coming out of a college, especially a good college program, you know, like an LSU or a Texas, you know, or somewhere like that, you know, I have to say that they're taught very well. But, you know, when you see, you know, a kid in the minor leagues and you're asking them to make an adjustment and they just can't feel it, the one thing that I was told by Dusty, and I completely agree with it, is, you know, if you can't feel what you're doing when you're swinging a baseball bat, or you can't feel what you're doing when you're throwing a baseball, you haven't done it enough. And that's where we're sort of headed with that conversation.
And how much does the use of a metal bat at the college level or even at the high school level give a player a false sense of security, because the ball is totally different off of it? You may have a big high batting average when you're using the metal bat, but it's totally different at the major leagues when you're using the wood bat.
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, I mean, no matter what you do with an aluminum bat, it's going to pretty much hold together in your hands. And, you know, with a wood bat, you do things wrong with a wood bat, you will find out in a hurry because half of it's spinning out there in the field somewhere. So, you know, yeah, there's definitely a difference in between the metal bats and the wood bats. One thing that I am glad, though, is that they're starting to get the weight balances proper because for a while there they had a rule. It was called minus five. You could have 5 ounces of difference, you know, in the length and the weight of the bat, and it was just like swinging those little bam-bam bats around.
Will Clark has joined us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his fine 15-year career. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.